It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome to the National Security Hour. This is Mary Fanning on the America Out Loud Network. This is where we bring the out loud truth with five simple words: liberty and justice for all. Tonight on America Out Loud Talk Radio, my guest, I am so honored to have Bishop Robert Smith. The reason that we have Bishop Smith is because of the many things that are happening in America today. While we generally just look at national security, what's happening in our country is going to take higher powers. And this is a time when perhaps the American people come together in prayer, because our country is in so much trouble that we need the hand of God to help us. So I'd like to introduce my guest, Bishop Robert E. Smith. Welcome, Bishop Smith. Thank you so much for joining us on the National Security Hour.
Oh, thank you, Sister Mary. It's my pleasure. Looking forward to our communications.
Thank you. Bishop Smith, as we're watching what looks to be our country unraveling, and the headlines, can more go wrong? Because the minute I say that, more will indeed go wrong. But we're at a time that is of biblical proportions. And the things that are happening in America, anyone that's paying attention has to be very concerned. Could you tell me what you're seeing and how it lines up with the Bible and what we, the American people, can do?
Well, where the scriptures are concerned, dealing with the prophetic nature of the times, what we have here is the book of Revelation being unveiled before our eyes and our experience. Say, for instance, you have those seals, trumpets, and bowls, which deal with population decreasing, wars and rumors of wars, the rivers, the lakes, the seas, and the plagues especially. And this plague that the world is experiencing now is just the beginning of more severe plagues. If you look at some of the countries,
Well, Bishop, you say those things, and boy, I would like to think that they're not true, because this is very concerning. And if we're looking at this in biblical proportions, you talking about plagues, we've already seen these plagues starting. We're seeing what's happening with the train and our own Chernobyl that's just happened in Ohio, and how it has sullied the rivers and killing the animals and damaging the people, and to what extent we don't know yet. But this is lining up with the Bible in a way that none of us could have imagined.
True.
Well,
however, there is something that we as believers can do, especially impacting the communities in which we've been planted in. So whether it's dealing with the food supply, or the water, the air, whatever, God's people always make a difference if they know who they are and what they're responsible for doing and capacitized to do so. So there is an out, and we don't really have to exacerbate the problems. We can just go straight to the solutions.
I like your attitude and your faith. In fact, our show a couple nights ago on the National Security Hour, as we saw what was taking place in East Palestine and the train and the vinyl chloride and the infecting of the people, the solution was apparent, at least to those that are Christian and believers in God. We immediately knew that we needed to stand up and not let our brothers and sisters go back into that tainted area. We needed to bring them into our own homes and make sure that they or their children weren't permanently damaged. And I think oftentimes we need to think instead of in the terms of national security, but biblical terms. What is the right thing to do? We reach out to our brothers and sisters. We take them in. We stand shoulder to shoulder and we help. Beyond being in prayer together.
Mm-hmm. That's true. One of the things that we overlook sometimes is in Isaiah chapter 58. It talks about the fast or the pushing back the plate that God has chosen. And one of the things he said that we should do is to bring the outcast into our homes, as well as feed the hungry and clothe the naked. And undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. All these things we can do if we just take a day or two, or maybe three, to fast before God and pray. And then we have the capacity to bring people into our homes. And when the clouds pass over, we're in a better shape kinetically to get more done. So, yes, we need to bring people into our homes, but it takes some grace to do so.
Acts of kindness.
Yeah.
Helping our brothers and sisters, God's children.
Yeah, the scripture says having a special love for the household of faith. So people who are Christians, we have to act like the scripture says, have a special love for the household of faith. So we're responsible for one another. We're members one of another, the Apostle Paul says. And we should pray. And our prayers have to become more and more effective. Oftentimes, we as disciples don't know how to pray in light of what's going on. We need to pray for the atmosphere. We need to pray for rain. We need to pray for the rivers to clear up. And I was about to say something a moment ago about the community. The church, the believers, are responsible for the places of their planting. Like the Lord says, the sower not only sows the seed of the word into the heart of believers, but he takes the believers as seeds and sows them in his field, according to Matthew 13.
So we should be, as believers, we should see ourselves as God's seed, God's children, that have the ability to make a difference with the earth that God gave us.
Exactly. He has planted you and me, all of the believers, in certain localities. I call it the place of planting. He wants us to be rooted, grounded, and fruitful. The only way we can do that is to die to ourselves. You know, when a seed is planted, it has to die. And the root must go downward. And then the plant upward and the bearing the fruit. So wherever I'm planted, like we're in the hood to do some good, God expects this seed to produce 36 and 104 return on its planting. And if that not be the case, then I, as a believer, become like salt that have lost its savoring, or the light that has gone out. Not only am I in the dark, but where I am is dark. We have the ability to impact our locations. But the adversary has scattered the church to some degree, and we lose that corporate expression of God's life, his wisdom, his knowledge and understanding. And so our communities lose because we lost. But we can recover. We can recover by getting back on our knees corporately, not just in our closets, but corporately. And sometimes we need to pray all through the night. Let's say from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. one night in prayer, for 8 hours of prayer, if you get 5 or 6 or 10 people together to be in all night prayer, it will guarantee something happening in the community that they've been planted in.
So where many are gathered in his name, we create a certain kind of God's power by uniting.
He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. And then the Hebrew writer says that when he is amongst his brethren, he sings and declares his name. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and they that run into it are safe. So two or three getting together in the name of the Lord in prayer produces the kind of power that we have no idea of the totality of effect that it brings about.
I suppose that that's the totality of effect that David felt with Goliath when things seem so large that he could not defeat something. Yet when he was standing with God, the power of God and the prayer of God enters the scene.
You know, that's very interesting. You would bring David up. David went to the king. That's the authority that was at the time. And said, I will fight the giant. But I wouldn't need the artillery or the clad that you have. I won't need it for myself. So the king says, you have my permission. Go fight. So if we know how to deal with the authorities, that delegated authorities that are, and we're equipping the saints with prayer and the word of God. So we're going with delegated authority. We're going in the power and in the name of the Lord going forward. And one more thing, Jesus said, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by enemy shall hurt you. So that tread upon means to advance and step deliberately on. That's what David did. He advanced and was able to step deliberately on this giant once he fell.
And that was because he had the power of God behind him.
Exactly. He went in the Lord's name, in the name of the Lord.
And in the name of the Lord.
That name means character, position, and authority. When we come in the name of the Lord, those three elements are on our side. His character, his position, and his authority. Can't lose with what he used.
So, understanding those who perhaps didn't understand ancient history or the Bible were living in biblical times, and many of those answers are being provided almost as a roadmap in the Bible.
Mm. There's a familiar verse of scripture in 2 Chronicles, I believe it's 7:14. If my people, now he's distinguishing us from all the rest of the world. If my people who are called by my name or have my position, character, and authority will humble themselves, in other words, relate to authority properly, spiritual authority, and seek my face, that's prayer, turning from their wicked ways that include compromise, because people, when believers compromise on a daily basis, they get not only neutralized, but they get pulverized. So if my people, called by my name, humble themselves, seek my face, having turned from their wicked ways, he said, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Now, Sister Mary, it's important that we know that. But secondly, it's important that we believe that.
Faith.
A faith.
It's about faith. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, ma'am. It's faith. Now, one of the issues that we as believers have when it comes to faith is our heart.
And so you're saying that if we have faith and we bow before God, Will that lead us to our answer?
Well, I'll recapitulate and encapsulate.
Thank you.
That if we seek his face, turning from our wicked ways, that is being compromised in our daily life, and seek his face in prayer, and that's praying with all prayer, like the Apostle Paul said, praying with the understanding, praying in the spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying effectually and fervently like Elijah did, according to James' account of it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So effectual means to stretch and exert some energy. Fervent means to heat up even to the boiling point. So in our prayer time, Mary, we must exert energy in prayer. Prayer is actually going to work like you're on a chain gang. It has to be effectual and fervent. We ought to be popping some sweat.
So prayer with energy. Bishop Smith, as we're going into this commercial break, I look forward to coming back and hearing about the energy that we need to exert on behalf of our nation. So our listeners are listening to the National Security Hour on the America Out Loud Network, the voice of freedom. We broadcast the National Security Hour Monday through Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be back after this short break.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour. My guest, Bishop Robert Smith. Bishop Smith has several books out. One we'd like to talk about is One New Man. Also, that relates to what is happening in this country and the divisiveness. What is happening between the American people? How we can come together? Because it's important to remember, united we stand, divided we fall. Our country, for it to prosper and for it to continue, the American people must be united. Our brothers and sisters must come together in unity, one nation under God. Bishop Smith, can you tell us and give us some insight in how we might do that and what we're looking at and what the political components are and how they're working against the American people?
Well, I like to quote this popular person back in World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who says the church is the center of the state. And without the church, the state does not have the relevance that it needs to have. So the country, the United States of America, is dependent upon the church. And the church is supposed to be the centrality factor of government. But the government doesn't have to know that, because there are two sets of government rules and regulations, one for the state, one for the church. The state is suffering because the church is not operating the right hand of God. So the left hand, which is the state, cannot do its job adequately because it's not energized and given the impetus by the power of the church, locally or nationally. So what we need to do as the church, get back together. I know there has been a scattering due to a pandemic, but that was the ploy of the adversary to scatter the sheep and nullify the potency and effectiveness of the church. So the church needs to start meeting not twice a week, but 6 and 7 days a week, needing to reprioritize. We got to get our priorities changed. And we'll see the community starting to change. And then we'll start seeing the capital of the state changing. Like in Arkansas, all of the constitutional officers are Christians. And it's called the red state because of the conservative values. But that didn't come automatically. It came because there have been believers spending time in prayers constantly. As a matter of fact, we've been a part of some saints who've been praying Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., for nearly 42 years nonstop. So,
Well, so it's important that we come together as one people, one nation under God, that we're unified, that God becomes more centric to our country, and the precepts and the values that we hold become the guiding light of how we live our lives. How does that fit into what we're looking at today with, you know, as we're celebrating Black History Month? How does that work in with Black Lives Matter and the 1619 Project? Are any of these beneficial, or are they divisionary?
They're absolutely divisionary in biblical proportion. Mm. The scripture says the flesh profits nothing. And if you walk after the flesh, you shall die. That's what the Apostle Paul says in so many ways. So when it comes to Black history, white history, really, in some cases, the negative aspect of American history can be problematic. What we need to do is do like Paul, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forth for those things that are before. To market Blackness or market any ethnicity is elevating hostility. Because that's where hostility is in the flesh of people. So if you're dealing with race, class, culture, religious distinctions, and yeah, even culture in the sense that you got a melting pot with the sophisticated and the uncouth in the same pot, the only redeeming factor is Christ. And Christ has been given to us to become something we never were. So it's up to the leadership of the church to teach believers who they are in Christ and what that means for the community. We don't celebrate Black history or Indian history or anybody else's history, but God's story. History. So we got to get out of the flesh, get into the spirit, and operate through our communications and demonstrations, the one new man. That's what Paul said, soul making peace. So we're a whole new entity. You remember Peter, he had an issue with ethnicity. He went down to this man's house and said, you know, I'm not supposed to be here, you know. I'm a Jew, you're a Gentile. And while Peter was speaking about Christ, the Holy Spirit fell upon everybody in the house. In other words, God cut Peter's speech short because he would mess the whole program up. And some of us, we need to cut short our communications because we don't have the articulations, because we don't have the revelation, so we won't have the demonstration and we won't have the manifestation. So we got to get back to what God says about who we are in Christ so that Christ can be who he is in us and make a difference in the community.
So if we live under the word of God, we don't have to start measuring ourselves in other ways. Is that your message?
That's the message. Paul says those that compare themselves with themselves are not wise.
So live in the works of Jesus Christ and live as he would guide us to. And that means not dividing ourselves among ourselves.
The scripture says there is one body and we're members of that one body. You see, Mary, what happens, we have to really know that the world outside of Christ, in the United States of America, those that are not born again, those that are not possessors of eternal life, they're different from the people who are born again, a part of the body of Christ, the church. So we're not trying to get reconciliation between two sinners. We're trying to give a revelation of the fact we already have reconciliation between two saints. And when they see the love that we have for one another, they will know more about Christ. They will listen to the gospel. They will be born again, and they will make a difference where they have been planted. So the emphasis is upon the church, the body of Christ. The world gets the benefit of body life. The world gets the benefit of the church knowing what the church is and functioning like we do know who we are.
So we're not seeing that in today's country, in the United States. We're seeing things like Antonio Gramsci and his prison diaries, which Pete Buttigieg's father, the professor, he's the one who translated those prison diaries. And they were calling for a race war in America, for the people to turn against one another. And so that's just the opposite of the message that I'm hearing from you, that this is the succeeding is by living in God's love and in uniting, not looking to destroy one another, or perhaps it's even judging each other.
Yeah, the apostle said, judge nothing before the time. And we need to be judging ourselves, not one another, as far as the primary judgment goes. But you said a race war? Look, there's been a race war ever since the Tower of Babel.
The audience about the Tower of Babel. Not everybody knows these stories.
Okay, well, the Tower of Babel was constructed by a person who was the first global slave owner. His name was Nimrod. He was a Cushite. In other words, he was a black man. So if anybody want to know where slavery really got its steroids from, it started from the black race. And so God came down because they were so unified that they would become so opposed to the plan of God. God had to scatter them by language. And then the ethnicity and the culture began to diversify. And you go over to Acts 17, where the scripture says that God took one blood, made all nations, and allotted them times between themselves, and boundaries for their habitation. That's called divine apartheid. God separated races to keep races from unifying in their flesh and in their fallen state. So from the Tower of Babel, under the auspices of a Cushite, all the way to today, is no longer under the auspices of a Cushite. Now there's Japhonite. They're the ones in control. They're the ones with the high technology and bringing about an amalgamation of humanity to stupefy the minds of people so that we find ourselves going into a Revelation 13 where there's a beast and a second beast, and then an image of the beast, and I call it artificial intelligence on steroids, that's going to be able to really bring people together under the auspices of the bondage of the Antichrist. So from Nimrod to the Antichrist, you've already always had race wars. But the antidote to it, the solution to it, is to find out exactly who Jesus Christ is. Well, start communicating that with one another and demonstrating that to each other, and the world would be the beneficiary.
Bishop, right now we're going to take a break, a two-minute break. So we're listening to America Out Loud Radio, the National Security Hour. We broadcast Monday through Friday with intel and military experts on Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And we hope that our audience can join us. And they can also listen to our podcast. They usually broadcast 1 to 2 days after we have broadcast live. You can also hear our shows on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and the iHeart podcast. So we'll take this short break and we'll be back.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Well, the OUTLOUD truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan. A plan based on real science that responds to the real-world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, ICSC-climate.com.
Okay, welcome back to America Out Loud Network, the National Security Hour, where you hear intel and military experts explain what is happening before us in our country. And today it's so important that the American people are looking beyond just intelligence, beyond the military, and looking to prayer and looking to what has happened to our God-given nation. I welcome back Bishop Robert Smith. He has published many books, and we'll talk about those, but I'd like for him to continue talking about the Tower of Babel and what is happening in our country and how it relates to what we know and the stories that were given to us in the Bible and how we as the American people can pay attention to those stories, can pay attention to the stories of Babel and Nimrod and how we can follow God's word to perhaps lead us to a better place than where we are today. Welcome back, Bishop Smith.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Yeah. Well, thank God for the Bible's saying to us that there is a group of people. They're called overcomers. They are the ones, no matter the situation, they always come over. They're called overcomers. When you read the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you find 7 churches that are giving messages, each one a message. And in each church, apart from the general message, there is an inserted message to the overcomers. They're the ones who get the rewards. They get the prize. They get the promises. So our job is to let Christians know that you don't have to be overcome by the adversary. You can be an overcomer, overcoming everything that's going on in the world, from your community in which you live, all the way to overcoming that dragon over there in the east that's whipping his tail and drawing all the other stuff that's infecting in an adverse way the rest of the world. We can overcome.
Now, yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the red dragon. That is in the Bible, is it not?
It is. In chapter 11 of Revelation, he drew a third part of the stars. In other words, he drew one third of the angelic host to go against God. Of course, they got the left foot of fellowship, got kicked out of heaven. That's what happened. But they hit the planet, but they couldn't do anything once God restored the planet to habitation for humanity. But the enemy has been around. He's been reading our cards, as it were. And they're familiar spirits that know when we go to bed, when we get up, know what we like and dislike. So we're in spiritual warfare, Mary. And it's spiritual. It's not natural. Paul said it like this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So in D.C., Vegas, Chicago, you have principalities that are over the municipalities that manipulate the constituency in those particular localities. So we need to be spiritual enough to know who's going to deal with that prince from Satan over that particular locality. We know what's going on in Little Rock, you know, with the little gangs and the little, you know, whatever's going on. But our struggle is not with humans. Our struggle is what is invisible, with against what's invisible. So we put on the whole armor of God. Every believer needs to know what the armor of God is. Girdle about with truth, having the right disposition on our chest, the breastplate of righteousness, and having the shoes of the gospel of peace. In other words, we should have on spiritual steel-toed shoes so the devil can't step on our toes. And then we need the helmet of salvation, which is to protect the mind. Because if the enemy can get to your mind, then he can get to your heart, and then he can get to all your body parts.
So how do people protect their mind? How do they protect their mind?
Mm-hmm. When you go to bed at night, turn the scriptures on and let the scriptures feed your spirit while your body sleeps. And every time you get an opportunity to go into the Word of God, get into that word and get the mind renewed. And when the mind is renewed, the mind becomes spiritual. And when the mind is spiritual, it produces life and peace. The word of God renews the mind.
So the word of God is really a roadmap. It's not only to protect us and our principalities. It gives us all sorts of guidance to how to protect our mind, how to be united in prayer, are there directions on how to be a soldier of Christ, how to protect our land, our people?
Well, God is holding the believers responsible for occupying. That's a military term. Jesus said, occupy until I come. How do we do it? Recognize that when Christ rose from the dead, he stripped all of those spiritual forces of their authority judicially, objectively, and turned the victory over to us to make us more than conquerors. But many of us don't know that. So therefore, the enemy takes advantage of our ignorance and gets the advantage of us. But the way we overcome through that word is to know that the word is alive and energizing. That word is like a two-edged sword. That word is the offensive weapon that we need to be able to marshal skillfully. So every believer needs to have a good foundation in the word of God so they can answer any and every question that's ever asked them concerning the hope that's within themselves as believers. And when we can do that, people will say, I really want what you have. And the more people wanting what we have, the change is forthcoming.
So when you see how those who are believers, how they unite, and you see the strength of their unity, others will want to join us. Is that your message?
That's it. The scripture says that we as believers should be one that the world may know. Christ said that the world may know that you sent me, and they would be perfected in one, that the world may know and believe that you have sent me. So the unanimity of the body of Christ is an evangelistic tool to impact the unredeemed world around us.
Boy, do we need that. You look around and we need redemption, and we need it in a hurry.
Well, what you're doing in opening the door to communicate the reality of this warfare that we're in, I believe is helping. God's going to make sure that the right ears hear what we're talking about, and they're going to want to hear more and understand what's being heard so they can make application to what's being heard, and we'll get the manifestation.
You know, I have a question. My whole life, I've gone past a billboard, and it's right across from a beautiful little church. And it has a Bible verse, and it has always bothered me. And now I'm beginning to believe it. And it says, there are none good, not one. What does that mean?
Well, it means that no one can do anything of themselves to be accepted with God. God only accepts one person, and that's his only begotten son that he sent into the world to live a perfect life, never sin in his thoughts, words, or action. And he became the perfect sacrifice. And what we need to do is to believe on him. And God includes us in him, with him, and through him. So no one else can boast about how good and moral they are, because God does not accept the righteousness of man. He only wants his own righteousness, and his son is a hallmark of his righteousness.
And so through him, we find redemption?
We find redemption. As a matter of fact, what happens when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God himself imputes to us Christ to become our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. He raises us up with his son to be seated with him far above all these principalities and powers and things that we're going through and we're struggling against. We are positioned with him with all the imputations of the qualities and the attributes of God. Ooh, it make your head swim.
it might make it swim in the right direction, because there are so many things that are going wrong in this country. And the division and darkness and hate and destruction is something that I don't ever remember seeing on this level. And it's not just in the United States. We're seeing this across the globe. And it's almost as though everyone has lost their way. It's almost, you know, they say it's communism. And I did not understand it for a long time that communism is demonic. And you understand it when you start putting it in the terms of the well-known communists, when, you know, as they talk about things being inside out and upside down, and you're talking about Saul Alinsky. It's no surprise that he you know, devoted his book to Lucifer. This upside down, inside out, all the precepts of the things that we believe are being trashed before us. How do we overcome this together? How do we, beyond prayer, how do we reach out to one another?
Well, we need someone to marshal the troops. We're all supposed to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. But then you have those gifted gifts. I call them gifted gifts that should be leading the charge. The scripture says there are apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Mm-hmm. They are for the purpose of perfecting the saints and to work the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until everyone in the body of Christ can come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. So we need who I call C, that's C as in Christ, M as in measure, V as in vision, P as in planting. I call them CMVPs, Christ's most valuable players. You're one of Christ's most valuable players. And you have to lead out the troops. And of course, you get all of the endorsements and your pay is higher, and but we're just doing it for the team. We got to lead the troops. And when the troops are out there on the field, I often say, if you fight, you will win. If you don't fight, you will lose. So fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, and you'll overcome in your coming. And you'll not overcome until you do come. So you are a CMVP, one of Christ's most valuable player, because you know your calling, you know your measure that he's measured out to you, and you know the vision that God has given you, and you know your place of planting, so you can be fruitful in every good work. And it's going to make a difference. The world is going to hear it, because Christ himself said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into the whole world, then shall the end come. So what you're saying, what I'm saying, what we're saying together, is going to be heard, whether people accept it or not. It's going to be heard.
And the truth will out.
Exactly.
The truth, people recognize the truth when they hear it. But is what you're saying that we are the family of Christ, the children of God Almighty, God the Father, that we come together as his family?
Exactly. Paul said it like this: I bow my knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. We are a family. And Mary, get this. A lot of people think we have the same father now that we're born again, but they don't know we have the same mother as well. When you go to Galatians chapter 4, it speaks of three mothers. It speaks of the mother Hagar, which is Mount Sinai. It speaks of mother Jerusalem that now is in bondage with her children. That's over there in Israel. And then the Jerusalem that is above and free and the mother of us all. So we have a new daddy. We have a new mama. We have a new family. And we are one in Christ Jesus. So we're excited about the prospect of people getting this revelation so there can be an amalgamation and a demonstration and a manifestation of God's power to change your locality.
Whoa. The power of God Almighty.
That is the fact. We can't lose with what he used. And he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, the one that called us to glory and virtue. So let's lead the troops. Like Peter said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue you add knowledge. To knowledge you add temperance or self-control, and to temperance you add patience, that means ability to endure. You can stand the winds, the waves, and the beatings. You can stand it all. And when the wind settles, you're yet standing. And then you add to patience godliness. Godliness is a great mystery. That is God's manifest in the flesh. That's how we can be healed, not only in our spirit through redemption, but in our souls, mind, will, and emotions, and in our bodies. We can be healed from pandemics, viruses, everything. God has provided everything we need to be overcomers now in these days.
Well, it's from some of the information that's come forward, the how people can be healed, even from these vaccines, the information that Dr. Zelenko brought forward, and the therapeutics, the God-given therapeutics, really more so than the therapeutics from some of these big pharma companies. Are these all in place because this is what God put on his earth for us?
In terms of the healing process?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. God knew this would happen before the world was. And he has people in place. We just have to be rightly and fully connected to them so that we can get the benefit of who they are and their placement.
Boy, so maybe people should be turning off the mainstream media television and looking into their Bibles and looking to their fellow brothers and sisters?
If you don't have the right news feed, you're going to be like a weed withering up in a dry forest. So I tell folks, if you're listening to MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, if you're listening to that every day, you are a loser.
Yeah, it's going to taint your soul.
Yeah, it's a vexation of the soul.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. People don't understand that they put forward, there was the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 that told that our media had to tell the American people the truth. They could not use brainwashing techniques or propaganda to bring them, really, it's almost like to bring them, you know, the serpent's tail, to bring them the lies. Now we understand that they put forward the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, saying that the mainstream media could bring forward Satan's word. So this is a point in time when people have to understand what was put in place. Again, if you don't understand your history, you're doomed to repeat it. But right now, if you don't understand your history, and perhaps most importantly, your Bible, then you're not going to understand what's taking place before us. But also, Bishop Smith, please tell me, how did you come to all this? What in your life turned you to God, to know the Bible as well as you do, and that leads us really through this life? It's a roadmap to understanding and really living in peace and grace.
Well, it's a level of intensity of hunger. He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, those are the ones that get filled. And I didn't really come to this, Mary. It came to me. I call it a superimposition of divinity upon my humanity. And once I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had an insatiable appetite for God's word and prayer. So, and that might be kind of rare for some folks, but that was all God. And I just flowed with what he wanted me to know.
He imbued you with the Spirit.
Thank you, ma'am.
And it led you.
Exactly. And that's why we're going nonstop. I say I'll be 77 in June and just getting started.
Yes, you are, because you've got some leadership to do on this earth, because we are in trouble. in the United States of America, and we need exactly this kind of leadership. We need to listen to God and those who are bringing his word.
Hallelujah. Well, I appreciate the open door of utterance that you provide today.
Well, Bishop Smith, please tell me the name of your books. I'd love our audience to be able to look them up and know where to find them.
Well, we have one, The New Man, The Elimination of Erroneous Distinction, I Shall Not Die, Illuminate, Regulate, and Invigorate, The Theology of Politics, The Seven Aspects of God's Grace, Tithe and Offering, Giving and Receiving, The Holy Spirit Within You and Upon You, Strong Words About Deception. And there are a few other printed works that we do have. And just have to go to our website, which is, I'll tell you what, our phone, 501-663-0362. We can get all the information that people want to them.
Well, thank you. This is such an important time as our country is unraveling. It seems to me what has been lost in the United States of America is that we have lost our way with losing our way with God. And so thank you so much for joining us on the National Security Hour at the America Out Loud Network. And Bishop Smith, I hope you will come again soon.